Welcome to worship at First Lutheran through virtual means. This is the 31st of May, 2020, the Festival of Pentecost. Please join me in praying. You, O God of all the nations, invite us to reflect your essence wherever life leads us, to be your spirit of bridge building, mending, restoration, forgiveness, and unity in a world torn by divisions. Rekindle in us your power of love and unity, we pray, through the baptismal gift of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, what a set of scripture lessons we have before us today. And how exciting that through the magic of Zoom, we were able to include all our lectors on one screen. In our first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we have all the drama of Pentecost, the birth of the church, scenes that feel something like creation all over again. There's wind and fire and new life bursting forth. There's the unlikely scenario of uneducated Galilean ex-fishermen suddenly filled with linguistic gifts, enabling them to miraculously connect and communicate with people of many different cultures and language groups. The names of the places we heard enumerated by our lector represented the whole known world at the time of the disciples. And the effect of the first Pentecost day was unbelievable. In a day, the church as it was known expanded from just over 100 to 3,000 followers. And how appropriate that we are receiving into membership today two young men of faith with such wonderful potential to enhance our fellowship, Andrew and Philip Stevens, sponsored by Scott Compton and Kurt Bastian. In our psalm for today, Psalm 104, we read about God sending forth God's Spirit in a creative burst that is both productive and renewing. And in Paul's first lesson to the Corinthians, we have the marvelous description of our unity in Christ Jesus. Here we are also reminded of the gift of God's Spirit in us, lifting up the diversity of our own God-given gifts, activating these gifts, and showing us how in sharing our individual gifts for the benefit of all, the one body of Christ is strengthened for service in the world. Then we get this abrupt contrast. It comes to us through our gospel lesson from John chapter 20. All the wind and the fire and the drama of the earlier readings disappears. And the message of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, is presented in a more personalized context. And the disciples are front and center again, but this time huddled behind closed doors, afraid and rather lost and alone. And into this all too familiar scene of fear and self-doubt and retreat comes Jesus, who stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." We're privileged through John's gospel to experience the personal, steadying presence of Jesus coming to the cowering disciples saying, "Peace be with you." And more, Jesus brings not only a benediction of peace for the disciples' troubled souls, but also a commission, a mandate, a task. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," Jesus says. And Jesus gives his disciples and us a very specific job to do, and also the essential tool they need to get the job done. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The invitation is to love others as they have first been loved by God, to engage in the healing and reconciling ministry that was modeled for them by Jesus. And all the need for their ministry is provided in the gift of God's Spirit, which Jesus breathes into his disciples. And we're reminded once more of the creation story and God's breath of life, which brings all things into being. Pentecost is the creation story of the church. And notice this, church is born outside on the streets, in the midst of what is happening all around us, real life, among strangers from many nations, and like all births, it's messy, and it's confusing, and it's full of starts and stops and hope and near despair. Today's story is really for everyone. It breaks open the possibilities of new visions and dreams for the church, for each and every one of us. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Something powerful happened on that first Pentecost. Something that drew together people who had nothing at all in common with each other. Theologian Marcus Borg says that Pentecost upended the Tower of Babel story, which left a broken and divided community of humankind. Instead of scattering people of every language group across the earth, the Spirit of God given at Pentecost rushes in to empower connection, builds bridges across the divides of culture and language and nationality. Somehow God's Spirit grasped the imaginations and hearts of all those who were present on that day and profoundly transformed their perceptions of each other. Their hearts and minds were open to the other. And yes, a new day began. In our lives today, as we wrestle with the universal impact and devastation wrought by the coronavirus, it's so easy to retreat to that place where we first find the disciples in our gospel lesson this Pentecost Sunday. Despite all the times that Jesus has appeared to his disciples in the last 40 days, here they are, still huddled, afraid together of whatever awaits them outside the doors of the room in which they are gathered. Everything beyond these doors represents danger to them. Everyone who is not one of us is them, a potential threat to the disciples. It's so easy to fall into that mindset, given all the unknowns of what life will be like in the days ahead as COVID-19 restrictions begin to lift and new protocols for life are imposed upon us. And left to our own devices, it would be so easy to feel overwhelmed by the dangers and threats that we perceive all around us, too. It would be so tempting to circle the wagons and protect us from them. But when we resort to those measures, we are as much as saying that God's dreams for us and for the world that God so loves stops here. There is nothing but this. Our fears and our grieving, the loss of reality as we have known it in the past. But the experience of Pentecost inspires us to look beyond what we have known and experienced in the past, to see the other as a potential companion on our journey of faith rather than a suspected threat waiting to do us harm, to regard this time of virtual worship as an opportunity to expand our spiritual imaginations. When the disciples are stunned by the rush of violent wind and then changed by the tongues of fire that rested on every one of them, bringing the gift of the Holy Spirit, their fears dissolve into a new confidence, compelling them to reach out to those who are drawn in by the disciples, by their desire to connect with their newfound friends. Last Wednesday, because of our new virtual ways of being church, I had the great joy of convening our family fun and fellowship evening with Niels, Ollie, and Bill, joined by my very own grandson, Ethan, and my daughter, Emily, all the way in Minnesota. And together we talked about the Pentecost story, and how the Holy Spirit is God's gift that activates in us God's superpower of love. It was so much fun to share that together with these little guys. And so also the gift of the Holy Spirit rescues us from isolation and fear. God's dream for us is that we journey together in faith. On our own, we're lost. But together, inspired by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and working to unify us, we have all the right tools we need to do what we need to do along this new journey that has come to us through the coronavirus. I think we found that to be true at First Lutheran, haven't we? The more we have been open to new visions and dreams, the more God has blessed us along our way these past years. The more we have been willing to step up and share our individual gifts for the common mission of the church family. And the more God has done in and through us as a congregation as a result. Shirley called me the other morning to do some reflecting about faith and life, as she is wont to do every so often. And she began by sharing how much it means to her to be gardening around our church these days, and about the new life bursting forth out of the ground to cheer us with the colors and textures of each vibrant bloom and each fresh green shoot that reaches up towards the sunshine. And I heard from Shirley about how Jeff, our sexton, has been helping with the heavier tasks of gardening, which Shirley knows she can't take on any longer. And so she was rejoicing what it meant to her to have her burden shared by Jeff. And then Shirley became uncharacteristically subdued, reflecting on how she felt our church had blossomed and grown in faith the more we've reached out and connected with others in the community over the course of these past 8 years. "You know, Pastor," she said, "some churches need protocols and complicated committee structures and planning processes. But what I love most about our church family," she said, "is that we all just naturally jump in to get things done. Each of us doing what we're best at doing. And somehow it all comes together every time. Plus, we have a lot of fun doing it as we tackle new projects and activities." Well, I'll vote for that. I think that's been our experience. Shirley was really just echoing St. Paul's affirmation in our second reading today. "Now there are varieties of gifts," St. Paul writes, "but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." All across the globe today, we're reminded of how the Spirit's creative and renewing power is at work for the common good. "For every terrible statistic and terrifying projection," Catherine Matthews has said, "there are stories of courage and compassion and consolation that bring us hope in the midst of courage, hope in the midst of anxiety and grief. Immersed in loss and longing and loneliness, we still feel God's presence with us, as the psalmist has always sung in every age, including in this week's Psalm 104, which speaks of God's renewing and creating, recreating face of the earth, sending forth God's Spirit. You know, I've been thinking about Paul's reminder to us that we need the whole variety of gifts from within the human family, pulling together for all the collective resources available to us across this country and across the globe in order to harness the coronavirus. On the front lines, we need those who serve as 911 operators, EMTs, ER nurses, and physicians, all the medical specialists who must collaborate in analyzing and treating the known and unknown symptoms. But behind the scenes, we need the administrators, to suspend business as usual and make a way through all the red tape that's usual to enable medical personnel to do their jobs. And working behind them on research and production, we need the scientists and engineers and data analysts and economists and journalists and essential workers of all kinds, shelf stockers and delivery truck drivers and pharmacists and sanitation workers and public safety officers and postal workers. Pentecost reminds us that working together in a seamless whole, like our quilters do at First Lutheran in ordinary days, coordinated by civil servants and political leaders elected to serve the common good, those who do so selflessly and with integrity and humility will lead to new life. And so we pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we individually and collectively strive to rise above our human tendency at this time to huddle in safety, fearful and disoriented. As I was preparing this Pentecost Sunday sermon, an email dropped into my box from Maria. It was a link to the most wonderful rendition of the anthem, O Day Full of Grace, which we just heard at the start of this worship service. Conceived as a gift to the Church Universal from the Association of Lutheran Church Musicians, it included the musical contributions of over 1,300 vocalists and instrumentalists, including our own John Knight. And through the miracle of technology and an astonishing array of individual efforts, gifts, and talents, and the generosity of donors, we have all been enriched by this mass choir singing their hearts out in faith and hope. As I listened to it for the first time, I found myself weeping with joy as I first listened to that musical witness. It was such a powerful collective effort to counterbalance the unwelcome reality facing all of our houses of worship around the world that even when we resume worshiping in person, it will be a long while before we can sing out the hymns of faith that form the backbone of our traditional Lutheran liturgies. And yet, there was this bold and faithful response, not a sign of defeat or retreat, but a step forward, using the gifts of not only the 1,300 church musicians who stepped forward to record their individual parts and send them in, but all the technicians and cyber experts who pulled it together into a cohesive whole and made it available as a Pentecost gift to the whole world. That is what the Holy Spirit does at Pentecost. Invites us to boldly go out into the world in whatever methodologies are available to us in a given moment in history and share the good news of God's unconditional love for the whole world, boldly renewing our calling to use the gifts of God created in us to serve the common good. And when we do this together, we too will see Jesus clearly standing among us, saying, "Peace be with you." And we will feel that peace and be inspired by the Holy Spirit to pass it on. Amen.